Ryan, what's the overall kind of emotions of a day like today? You're meeting with players and, you know, maybe the disappointment settled in a little bit, but what today represents for you and your coaching staff?
It's more so about starting the conversations about, what went on, and two, expectations for moving forward with guys. So all that stuff starts today for what we want to see out of them over the course of the summer, and make sure that they all know, like, you don't want to be in this position that we're sitting here today. We set a goal every year of being a playoff team, and we didn't get that this year, so that's the ultimate gauge of a successful season. And everybody has to find a way to do more and improve over the course of the summer, so we're in a better position next year. And that starts today with the conversations we have with the players.
Do you get lots of the conversation, obviously, the messaging from you to the player, but do you get lots of that honest feedback from the player, too, about what they felt and personally and as a team?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like they're more open nowadays than they have in the past. Even when I first started coaching, the young guys were very quiet, but now everybody's a part of trying to make a team work. I think the older guys on your team very much feel like they're a part of helping it move forward, so they have ideas and suggestions along the way. And it's our job as a coaching staff to make sure that we listen to them, because they're the ones that have to go on the ice and kind of apply the plan. So you work together, and I do feel like nowadays the players are much more open to voicing concerns and giving you the opinion on the way things were and areas that we can be better as a team.
Obviously, you want to make the playoffs. Obviously, you're not in that position, but that aside, how would you assess how you felt you did in your first full year coaching this team?
Still a tough question because it's fairly early. We, you know, the one thing that I was proud of, I think this year we were a couple things. We brought some youth into the mix, and we were able to incorporate them in the lineup. That was something that was important for us. The second thing for me would be that I was pleased with was the leadership group that developed and started to get stronger as the season went on. Something that we need to continue to work on and develop here, because those are the guys who are going to help push us forward. And then the other thing, you know, we had a lot that went on over the course of the year, and I feel like with the leadership group and the guys willing to persevere and fight through some of the adversity, we were competitive just about every night. The guys worked, and that's what I ask for them out of them, is to make sure that whatever situation is, you come and work. And there was a few nights where we weren't at the level we wanted to be at, but I felt like those were few and far.
You mentioned the leadership group. Obviously, from the outside, this seems like it'd be a uniquely challenging year to be a coach or even a player on this team with all the contractual stuff going on. Was there anything in particular you felt your leaders did well to sort of help navigate the group?
I think they found a way to keep what mattered inside our dressing room. So they learned early on that all the talk outside the room was a safe haven, if you will, for the players. And I think once they kind of got to understand that, they didn't allow any of that outside noise to come inside. So it was more about them than anything else. And whenever something came about, whether it was a trade or a situation that we had to deal with, they dealt with it, they put it to bed, and they moved on. And I think that showed a lot of maturity from some of our key players like Michael and Blake and McKenzie and others like Naz, Markey. All those guys were a big part of that this year in helping, I think, push it down a little bit and just stay focused on what we were trying to do as a team.
Is it hard when you look at the group to evaluate this season as a whole, because it did, you know, the group that you had changed so much?
I don't think so. I mean, when you look at the individuals, there was a lot of guys that had really good years for us. There were some other guys that we still have to prop up a little bit. I think when you evaluate as a coach, there's areas that we know that we have to get better in. We like some of the changes that we made system-wise, and we think that we're going to continue to get better in those the more we work on it and tweak and make some small adjustments to them as we move forward. But there's things like the consistency in our game. It's making sure that we are having the same mentality against whatever opponent we're facing. It's making sure that our last game of a back-to-back is the most important game type mindset. There's all sorts of things that we can improve on, and that's up to us first and foremost as a staff to figure that plan out, and then go through the leadership group and then eventually the team to make sure we improve on those areas for next year.
A year ago at this time, there was so much talk about Jonathan Huberdeau, and when we spoke to him, he said post-December, he was happy with the steps he took in his game. And he particularly
this year?
This year, okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that last year, obviously, it was all Huberto. But how do you evaluate a year like his? Because he talked about the defensive side, but acknowledged that's not really what he's paid $7.5 million a year for.
Yeah, and... But if it's hard for a player like Jonathan, I think, to really look back at his last 2 years, if you will, and think of it as success, because he's always thought of himself as someone that has to generate all the time. If he doesn't generate, you know, he has a hard time with it. But if he really takes a step back over the last 2 years, he's become a better player overall. And I think what we saw from Christmas on after he had that stretch was a guy that was committed to more so both sides of the game, and now he was starting to generate for us a little bit. So it's finding that balance for him where he can be a guy that contributes all the time, but recognize that he brings a lot of other things to the table for our team as well. So he's a player that's no different from a younger player where over the course of the summer, you want to dig in like you have to earn it every day. So the summer for him is just as important as it is for one of our younger players that we're expecting to take a bigger role next year. So that's what we're excited about. The only silver lining for not playing meaningful games at this time of year is the players have more time to get over the bumps and bruises, and they can really get after their training to make sure we're not in this position again next year.
Ryan, there's been a lot of people wondering on the outside, okay, how is Jacob Markstrom feeling, and what is his future, all that stuff. And I don't want you to tell us how Jacob's feeling or put words in his mouth, but can you just give us some insight on what you've seen behind the scenes from Jacob going back to the trade deadline and everything that transpired?
Oh, I'll even go back further from the beginning of the year. He's been very steady and even keel right through. And I know there's some stretches where you'll see the emotion come out in him and some comments around the trade deadline. But for us around the dressing room, he was very businesslike, and he was very much a leader in our room, and he approached everything the same way every day. And right from the beginning of the year, as I mentioned, you have players that give opinions and thoughts. He speaks up in meetings. He was very committed to doing whatever he could do to help this team win. So we see a different Jacob a lot of times than what you guys would see in the media and the way he is away from the rink. He's a competitor through and through, and he's a very proud man, and we're lucky to have him.
Sticking with goaltending, Dustin Wolf obviously wound up playing 17 games this season. Can you envision going into training camp with Dustin Wolf potentially as the third option again?
Yeah, because we have all those guys under contract. So we are fortunate that that's a position of strength for us. And I think by us getting Dustin in those games, you don't want to see a guy get hurt or injured. But when someone misses time, it opens the door. And this gave him an opportunity to play a fair bit of hockey for us, and I think we saw him get more and more comfortable as the year went on. So as I mentioned, the injuries you don't like to see, but it opens the door for opportunity, and I think he took advantage of that.
How did you, like, the power play wasn't working great for most of this season? How would you evaluate that?
I would agree with what you said for the the last 12 to 15 games. Maybe it got hot. And prior to that, it was not very good, and it was one of the reasons why we're sitting here today. We weren't able to find the consistency that we needed in it, and until recently, with a couple adjustments, they didn't have the confidence knowing that we can be a difference in a hockey game. So they hopped over the boards almost with a, you know, it gave a coach the feeling of they're going out there for 2 minutes and we'll see what happens. We got to get back at it 5-on-5, where the difference towards the end of the year, they went over knowing they were going to score. And that mentality is something that we really have to push and have them focus on when we come back next year, because it looked like a totally different power play the last 14, 15 games of the year than what we saw for the majority of the rest of the season.
One of your players earlier credited Andre Kuzmenko with having a big part to do with that. Is that fair?
He is, when Andre got his game going, the power play took off, so I don't think it's a coincidence. He's very good down low along the goal line, so he's not only a threat to take the puck to the net and score with his skill, But he's also got the composure with the puck where he can make plays to open guys. So I think he changed the power play pretty significantly. And then the other thing for me was Sharon Govich changing the sides and putting him on his forehand side. I think was a real big change for that first power play unit as well.
And your penalty kill sort of cooled off a little bit after the trade deadline. Was that, do you think it was a structural thing or just the personnel changes you made, sort of some of the guys you leaned on hard early in the season just weren't there anymore?
Yeah, I think a lot of that was personnel. You take your normal two penalty killers out of the picture and now you're working with other guys and they're having to do some heavy lifting that other players were doing. So I think it came down more so to that than anything structurally.
How best would you describe the culture change? How best would you describe the culture change from the team you inherited to the team you have now?
I don't really know how to answer that. I like the direction that it's going for sure, and I feel like the players, the person beside them is now becoming more important. I don't know if we're there yet. I feel like we're going in the right direction, Eric, with that. Because at the end of the day, that's what you have to fall back on. You fall back on your work and you fall back on your standards and the culture that you have in your dressing room. So the stronger that is, the tighter the ties that they have as a team to each other, the better your team's going to be. And then eventually it leads to holding each other accountable, so the coach almost gets out of the picture. And when you look at all the best teams around the league, that's what they have. The coach is there to kind of put them back on track when they slip a little bit, but it's the players that hold themselves to a certain standard. So you want to get to that point where it's an everyday thing, and that's why I'm proud of our leadership group. I think they've done a really good job of trying to, you know, bring it together sooner than later, and I think that they really are going in the right direction.
Ryan, you've been a head coach at the WHL, AHL, and NHL levels, and when I asked Rasmus Anderson, he said, you're a different coach with the Flames than you were with the Heat. When you look at your journey, how have you grown as a coach over the years, and what adjustments have you had to make coaching at the highest level other than maybe dealing with us every day?
A lot. I think when you're a young coach, you always feel like you're ready to step into a job, and everybody thinks that, oh, I'm ready for this, and I'm going to kill this role and responsibility, and you step into it, and you're like, whew, boy, I've got a lot to learn. But I feel like I was given a bit of a head start for this because of the people that I got to work with here. So when I was assistant coach here, the guys that I had a chance to learn and watch under were really good at different areas of the game. So for me, I'm a note taker, and I make a lot of notes, and I try to tweak things a little bit. But without the help from, you know, the three prior head coaches that I was here under, it makes it much more difficult. But those guys allowed me to be more ready than I probably was at any other stage of my career coaching.
The other thing that Rasmus said is that when you were coaching the Heat, you played the Flames system, which you had to. But here you played your system. Are you happy with the system that you've put in place, and should we expect to see the same sort of hockey next season?
Yeah, I am. I think we're going to get better in our own zone. That, you know, looking back at it, we had a terrible start to the year. We were 2-7-1 to start, and I think I underestimated the size of the change maybe we asked them to make early on. But once they grasped it and figured it out, I thought we got much better in our own zone. So I don't feel like when you look at our goals against or our chances against, a lot of those came from our play in our own zone. A lot of it was what we did with the puck in the other ends of the ice to create odd man opportunities for our opponent. So I like that side of it, and I think we're going to get better with it the harder we are and the quicker that we kill plays in our own zone. I also like our neutral zone now, and I think we're, as the season went on, we got more and more comfortable playing the way we expect the team to play. So for me, that's where growth comes in. There's not going to be a lot of changes on that side of things. There's slight tweaks, but the players understand what we're looking for and where they should be. So that thought process or thinking about, am I supposed to be here or there, should not be there next year. So for me, I look forward to seeing us get off to a much better start than what we did this year.
Ryan, we've asked a few of the veterans, like Coleman, Kadri, Uyghur, and even Markstrom, like, do you want to stay here when development might be the priority over competing for a Stanley Cup? How important will it be for you guys heading forward to have those good veterans in the room to facilitate the development of the Zaris and Coronados?
Yeah, I don't. Well, you have to have great leaders around your team all the time because they are the ones that set the standard for how the team has to play, and young guys as well. But for us, the expectation next year is to make playoffs. So you can talk about development all you want. Part of our job to put ourselves in a position to be there is to see some growth from not just our older players, or the younger players, I should say, it's the older players as well. That's how we get ourselves to the next level. So people have had an opportunity to play games here over the last 10, 15. They have a better understanding, I think, of what they have to do over the summer to make sure they're ready to contribute on a different level next year or to raise their level, because expectations will be the same for our team. And you talk about development, yeah, we'll keep infusing people in. There'll be different people in the lineup, but expectations not going to change for what we want out of this team next year.
And you feel like this is a top-down expectation, that it is a playoff expectation for next season?
You always have to have it. And I don't feel like, if you take our start out of the equation this year, you know, we were playing some good hockey at the trade deadline. And I do feel like if we would have stayed status quo, then we're probably in a different position right now. That's my thought on it. And then once we got over the hump of losing some of those players, it was starting to come again, you know. So I do think that we're in a position where we have a good group of older players that are going to continue to push, and they want to get better, and they want to be in the playoffs, and they're going to drag people along with them, because that's what has to happen.
Ryan, what can a trip to Worlds maybe do for Martin Pospisil as he tries to further what he's accomplished in his first season as an NHLer?
Another great experience. He was awesome this year. If you look at our team, there was one guy that I thought changed that 2-7-1 start, had an impact on flipping the script a little bit on our season. That was Marty. Every night he was a rat, if I can say that. But the pace that he plays the game at is what we want to see from more of our players. Like, he is what, you know, we want to look like in a lot of ways. And the part that you love about him, for you guys that watch us practice every day, he practices the same way. So our players on the ice in practice know that if I'm not ready, he's going to finish his hit on me. So he's just able to carry that over onto the game. But for a young guy like that to understand how he has to play all the time, and that he can be a really good NHL player, not just an NHL player, this guy can be a really good NHL player. The World Championships gives him another opportunity to play against some really good hockey teams in meaningful games. So hopefully they're able to get into some meaningful games there. But he's a really good player. So he's one of the guys that you have to be really happy for his season and how he progressed this year.
I'm really curious, like, using him as an example, because there's so much satisfaction there. He didn't know if he'd ever play in the NHL, and I made it. And so how do you balance the, hey, you know, you should be proud of this season, with making sure that the message today is sort of pushing it forward?
For me, the one we tried to leave with him, Connor's the same. You guys had great years this year. There's a lot of positivity around the way you played. I tried to get them to understand that next year will be much, much harder. Because this year there was no expectation on them. Next year there will be. So that's a different animal for a player to learn how to handle that at a younger age, knowing that every night now, if I turn a puck over, I don't get the same leeway as I did as a first-year guy, because they're trying to bring me along. People know when I'm on the ice now because people know my name. And they know I'm a good player, so you're going to get better defensemen playing against you. All that stuff comes into play. So they have to be able to handle that. So you get yourself into situations that when we play teams that are out of the playoffs, like we did last night, I thought Connor played really well, had a good game. He was a little quieter against Vancouver the night before. So that's what next year is going to be all about, is the expectation is there, so now it's finding a way to contribute in those situations, and Marty's no different. So expect it to be harder, so that means the preparation you put in this summer has to be at a different level to make sure you're confident and ready to go.
Do you think those two stories, Connor and Martin, the fact that they came in, they didn't start the season here, but turned themselves into everyday NHLers, that becomes a bit of an inspiration for other guys in the organization, that, you know, they're a story that you would hope to recreate at some point down the line?
100%. And I think that did for that Wranglers group. When they came up and saw they were not just going to come up and play a couple games and then get sent back down, that they were actually going to play and be guys that were going to be used in different situations, I think it changed for a lot of guys that were with the Wranglers. And true to Connie's word, we brought a lot of people up this year and we gave them opportunities to play. Some guys, like those two, really took advantage of it. Other guys got their feet wet and they got a taste of what they have to do to be full-time guys down the road. So it is most definitely a situation where it it leads people to believe that they have an opportunity with seeing those two guys as to what they did this year.
Looking back on when those guys came up, I know a lot of times in the past when guys come up from the Wranglers, they get, you know, fourth line, bottom six duties. They sort of, you know, the coaching staff sort of eases them in. What went into the thought process of sort of putting, you know, those two guys with Nazem in such a prominent place right away?
Well, Posp's first game was with Michael Backlund, if I'm not mistaken, in Seattle, I think was his first game, and that's where he played to start with. So we felt like we needed a little bit of pace, and we needed somebody that we thought could complement Naz a little bit on the wing that had some ability. So Connor's not, most definitely not a fourth line player. It's not the way he's built, it's not the way he plays. So if we don't put him in a position where he has a chance to succeed, how are we helping him? So part of our job is to help the guys out and put them in positions to succeed, and then it's up to them to take advantage of it. And that's what Connor was able to do.
Interesting you say that, just because A.J. Greer talked about how important he thought it was for Matthew Coronado to actually get some fourth line minutes. He's like, we know Coronado's not a fourth line guy, but him learning those things will be good for him long term. Yeah. So it can go both ways a little bit.
Yeah, Matty, to me, is a little different than Connor. Like, they're a little bit different player. They're both guys that we'll look upon to help generate offense. But there's a little difference between the two of them, where I think Matty has the ability to bounce up and down and all over the place. Maybe it's because of where he went to school. I don't know. He's a smart player. And I'm not saying that Connor's not, but there's a little difference between the way the two of them play the game. In certain situations, if you ask Matty to be hard on a forecheck, he can do that. Connor's more of, he's got to possess the puck and use his body to make plays and create. So there's a slight difference between them. But what we liked about Matty this year was his time. He got better each time he was brought up, and he really focused on the details of the game to try to make him a better player away from the puck. And it was noticeable to us as a staff.
What are your impressions of Connor's area at center, and do you see him in that position into next season?
It depends on summer and how he comes back and what we return, I guess, is what you have to kind of look at it. In talking to him this morning, he likes playing both. So it's a nice option for us to have, and I think we've talked before that if you had 12 forwards that were all capable of playing center, that's a good problem to have. So it was good for us as a staff to see that he could handle it and he could do a job there. And now it's just a matter of fit to see if that's where we want to continue to use him or if it's back on the wing in a different role.
Will you treat watching playoff hockey like a little bit of a research assignment? Like, can a coach hone his craft? Obviously, you'd rather be on the bench, but by watching what happens in the next 2 months?
For sure. Like, we'll, as a staff, we're going to separate some of the games that are going to be played, and everybody's got their teams that they'll have to follow. Because each team does something differently. Some are the same. But if you can pick and choose some of the things that separate a team, why are they in the playoffs or what makes them a good team, then that's what the game is about. You steal or borrow, whatever you want to call it, from other teams all the time. And this gives us an opportunity to do that.
What's the follow-through then on the other side? Like, will you get back together or have a call with the coaches after playoffs, or do you kind of go through it on the fly, or how do you split it up, but how do you take the information from there?
Yeah, and there's texts, phone calls, all that stuff, and then I think this year we'll have a get-together for sure sometime around development camp. So that also gives us a chance to see some of the young players. So we'll find time to get together over the course of the summer, and really most guys are here. Or close to here, so it should be a little easier than other years.
A little bit of a weird run, Ryan, but I think you were top five this season in percentage of goals scored by defensemen and bottom five in percentage of goals scored by forwards. Like, in an ideal world, do you want that to be a little more balanced? Do you feel like the forward group had a little bit more to give, or your defensemen carried the offense a little bit too much?
I think your offense is generated, like, us five guys, so who gets it? It doesn't matter. I mean, the forwards aren't going to have success if the defensemen aren't contributing, and the defensemen aren't going to have success if the forwards aren't contributing. So someone's doing something for the other all the time. So if you get it working as five guys together fluidly, then you're doing things the right way. So I think that one can't have success without the other, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.